EW Podcast is
fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce. Weather fierce. Food fierce. There's weather.
Hello, I'm Joey Nolfi, Entertainment Weekly's RuPaul's Drag Race reporter, once again on the high seas aboard the SS Muse, which is now, it's actually a congenial class ocean liner, and I can confirm we are indeed honoring our dear Maya Iman LePage as we venture into treacherous World of Warships waters after she accidentally tagged the World of Warships account instead of World of Wonder in a Drag Race related post on X over the weekend that Jillian and I could not stop laughing about.
It's amazing.
I'm right.
And I'm Jillian Cederholm, EW's news director, and all the dresses in my closet also smell funky for no reason.
Wait, are you Sephiroth's drag mother?
Am I her drag mother?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and?
And her actual mother? Oh my gosh. Well, Jillian, as much as I would love to stay on this ship's poopsies deck with you, we do need to dock, deboard, and unpack the season 16 finale. Good God, girl, let's get out of the ship. So, after this, I kind of want to stay on this stunning reveal that Jillian Closet is actually Sephiroth's drag mother. This is news that she has withheld the entire season. Care to elaborate?
I just have funky smelling clothes. That's all I'm saying. I would never lay claim to such a fabulous queen as Sephira. I wish.
Okay. Well, who's to say? We should start talking about this last episode of Drag Race by getting a little bit into the New York City finale event, which I was in attendance at, which was a very interesting affair. It was, again, in a very tiny space. It was in the Edge at Hudson Yards, and they did this for season back in season 14 as well. It's like a teeny tiny little room up at the top. It's like 1,100 feet in the air. It was so terrifying. I was super scared the first year to go up, and this year I was a little bit better. But we get there, and I'm waiting downstairs. Go ahead.
Well, explain what the event was.
Oh, yeah. It's just so the, you know, where they film the reaction videos for YouTube that we see the queens actually finding out, the top two finding out who won and who didn't win. That's where they film it. They film it in an entirely separate area. So we have no idea where they're when or where they are doing that. And then they bring them all out on stage. It's an event that like Jimbo was hosting on stage. It's usually the previous year's winner, but Sasha Colby is out on tour. So Jimbo, host of the event, Jimbo, was so funny. So they just screen the episode, and then it's like a whole bunch of media and queens and special guests. It was really, really cool. And they do this every year.
So everyone who was not in the live audience of the finale this year
pretty much was all at this New York City event. And that's cool. It was really funny because we get there and, you know, waiting in the press line to go upstairs, and I see Safira coming down in the bar. She's like walking down the line saying hello to everybody, and she gets to me and she says hello, and then she keeps going, and then this old ass woman is behind her and says hello and like leans in to do like the double cheek kiss that they do to everybody. And I was like, oh, hello, how are you? Like having no clue who it was. And then when they stepped a few feet down, I looked at Mehdi, who took our gorgeous photos of Nymphia for the winner interview. I looked at Mehdi and I said, was that Plain Jane? And Mehdi was like, I think that was Plain Jane. You literally, I had no idea it was Plain. And
wait, she kissed you on the cheek?
All the queens do this thing where whenever they are greeting someone, they all come in and they just like Safira was doing it too. She was going down the line and they just do the, like the French thing. It's not an actual kiss. It's like, because they're in hair and makeup, they do the
plain Jane gave you a French kiss dressed as an old lady. Is what
oh my God. No, she no. Okay. So I'm going to do it like I like the wig mic is me. Okay. So queens do this at every you had to when you went to that.
Please kimchi, don't make out with your microphone.
When you went to the kimchi event, they had to have greeted you like this. So because they have giant hair and makeup on and usually you can't like hug them, they go like this. They'll just go. Like on both sides, as if it's like it's just Joe's a gesture.
Kissing his computer.
Oh my God, I hate you right so now. Much. We're ending this final episode now. But yeah, she had a full prosthetics on her face. Could not tell it was her at all. It was straight out of the like Princess Poppy at the Emmys sort of level of prosthetics on her face. And it was so funny watching Miss Baba Yaga like run through the mall because it's also above a mall and. It was so funny watching her just walk through this mall and people being like, who the hell is that? And at this point, I hadn't seen the pictures online yet of the red carpet where obviously it showed that Plain was on the carpet looking like that. And it was so funny. And I actually tell her in our exit interview coming up, I'm like, I am so sorry that I did not recognize you at first. I was like, I was just thought I was saying hello to like some old woman. But so then after that, we go upstairs and there were a lot of queens there. There was Eureka, Dawn, Plasma, Nikki Doll, Tsunami Muse was there, and both her real mother, who was there seeing her for in drag and full drag at a gig for the first time, was also there. So it was really sweet to see that.
Who's real mother?
Tsunami's real mother. And then her drag mother was also there, Miss Candy Muse. So seeing them both was so sweet. They were both interacting with each other. And it actually got me like, I was like, this is like so cool to see Tsunami's real mom and her drag mom, like two people who have had such an influence on her life, there together celebrating her win Miss Congeniality. It was a very emotional moment. And we also did get quotes from Candy of Candy reacting to a Tsunami winning Miss Congeniality, which I think we're going to play in a second. And then Tsunami, we also asked about her mother. So it was just a really, really, really nice thing to see. And like I said, Jimbo hosted the event. So the show started. Jimbo was bringing people up on stage and was like interacting with the queens. And Jimbo and Candy had a really nice dynamic. But at the start of the event, PR was taking us to scout locations to do our interview with the eventual winner later in the night because we had to see what the sound quality was going to be like in each of the rooms. And we go into this one room and I just this was before the show had started. And we go into this room and they open the door and Jimbo and her partner Brady are sitting at this tiny table, literally like Jimbo has those, you know, what's it called when you have like the metal stuff and you're melting metal to like join the pieces together, like soldering. And Jimbo has Jimbo's crown and they're soldering Jimbo's crown together because I guess pieces had fallen off or something. It was so funny. And Jimbo doesn't even look around. And she was like, oh, is that Joey? Like, yes, hello, Jimbo. I said, Jimbo, what are you doing? And she was just like, oh, we're just, I think she did say soldering. She was like, oh, we're just soldering this crown. And like, I was like, what the hell? It was so funny. And Jimbo it was funny because Jimbo was doing a lot of very technical things that evening. Jimbo ran that event because not only did Jimbo solder the crown and host the event, but afterwards, as Nymphia posed for pictures with Amanda Lepore, Jimbo was holding up the key light. And so it was lighting technician Jimbo. Jimbo was running that event. It was the most hilarious thing I have seen. And the other guests that were there, Kevin Aviance, about 10 minutes after the show started, Kevin Aviance came and sat right next to me for the entire thing. And it was really cool to watch Kevin watching the episode. Amanda Lepore was sitting behind us. Matt Rogers was also there. And the atmosphere in the room, I would say, throughout the episode, I was trying very hard to objectively gauge it. And the room was definitely Team Safira. Definitely got the biggest reaction when the queens came out on the runway. Nymphia and Plain also got definitely, I would say, an even amount of applause between them. But that room went wild for Safira, and especially during her solo number performance that the room, she got a standing ovation in that room. And it's funny because they're not even out yet. I think that's when they're in the back. I think they're the episode starts for them a little bit earlier. So they were in the back. They weren't even out. And that was the reaction that Safira was getting. So
I wonder if they knew at that time who won or not. Like, I wonder what the delay is in showing them.
Yeah, I'm not sure because they don't bring them out until we are at the end of the episode. So like I said, I saw they were walking from, I think, the red carpet to go start watching the episode when Safira and Plain passed by me in the bar lobby. So I think that's where they were going to. So I believe that it's a slight delay, but I don't think it's a huge delay. I'm not 100% sure. But like I said, the atmosphere in the room, it was definitely Team Safira. And we get through the episode and of course, Nymphia is announced as the winner and it went crazy. And it always gets me a little emotional, regardless of like who wins. I'm not saying anything about who wins or who doesn't win, but just to be in that room and to see, and even the videos that I see online of all of these watch parties at all of these bars and everybody standing up and cheering and getting so excited for this. It just, there's just an energy to it. And it doesn't feel like I've been to many sports games before and it, that feels fun, but like, it doesn't feel like this feels. This is the only show of its kind on mainstream television. And it's just, regardless of who you're rooting for, of how you feel about certain queens, it's like, to be all in that room together while we're all going crazy over the announcement of this winner after watching this lip sync, it feels so cool. And Nymphia came out and she said some really nice things on stage. She said, Asia and Taiwan, like, this is for you. I just really want to make you proud. All three of them performed. Plain had it appeared to be a wardrobe malfunction because she came out dressed as the Baba Yaga, which at first she was wearing a house around her and she could barely get up onto the stage. Like she was having trouble walking up onto the stage. And then when she came back for her performance, she was wearing like traditional Russian garb and she started dancing in it. And then Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls started playing and she tried to rip it off, but it wouldn't come off. So she just pointed to some random guy in the audience and was like, you come here, help me do this. And like, he tried to do it and he couldn't get it off. And then her microphone got caught and then of course she stripped down and was dancing all sexy to it. And it was very funny. But Safira did like a very emotional, like gospel number. Her mom we got some footage of her. It's in the article. Her mother was singing along to her standing up. They were singing to each other. It was just, there were people crying in the audience to this. It was a very nice moment. And then Nymphia performed and went over to the window 1,100 feet above the audience and just like shoved her crotch onto the window and like bent backwards. And like, I was like, girl, I don't know about that. That window might break. But and then as soon as she turned around, there was somebody there that stood up in the middle of her performance and went over to her to try to get a selfie. And in the middle of her choreography, Nymphia just stops and poses for the selfie and then just keeps going. It was really cool. But other highlights, like I said, Jimbo, lighting technician Jimbo, really cracked me up. They were taking photos outside 1,100 feet in the air. It was really cool, the backdrop. You should all go check out those photos that Medi did for us in our article. They are absolutely stunning. And also another funny moment was Nymphia walking in pain to the elevator. She was kind of like just like hobbling around going into the elevator. Safira removing her mother's eyelashes from her face. I was not, yeah, we were all waiting for the elevator together. And Safira was like, Mama, wait, come here a second. And she just like, and Safira's mom, I like looked over at her mother and I was like, oh, are you proud? And she was like, yes, I'm so proud. She was like, I'm so glad that I get to share my baby with the world. And then while she was talking to me, her eyelash was kind of falling off. And Safira was like, Mama, she just takes her eyelashes off as she's talking to me. And it was just, you know, it was such a nice moment. So that was a nice thing to end on. You know, the last interaction there being Safira's mother saying it was very nice to get to share her baby with the world and see how much the world loves her baby. So
yeah,
getting emotional, just thinking about what a cool event it was. And because, you know, I know that you and I talk a lot about like, you know, we are covering these things and there's important news to come out of here and we're getting the interviews and getting the quotes and all that. But there is an emotional aspect to this too. And it was nice to be at this event to see how much this means to not only the queens themselves, but the people in their lives, like Tsunami's mother and Candy. like sort of embraced each other, and were so happy to see their daughter get Miss Congeniality, and Safira's mother being so excited. It's just words don't do it justice. It was a very cool event.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm glad you got to go and share that with us. That's a really nice peek behind the curtain for all of us fans.
Yes.
But let's now get into the big show itself.
Yes.
Going from Maya's battle on the high seas and Joey's battle to not pass out while looking out the window of a Manhattan skyscraper. We head to Flatland, where RuPaul drives down Hollywood Boulevard to the finale in a pink limousine. Just as I was doing one of my classic freeze frames to point out her driver pulled an Angina and was suddenly from going one way on Hollywood Boulevard to a completely different way on Sunset Strip, the pink walls opened up to reveal she was actually on stage at the finale the whole time, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
Although the finale was not the giant live event we are used to, we did get our classic final runway walk by all of the season's queens in elimination order, as well as our top three. Joey, before we get into whose looks we were gagged by, let's discuss this finale structure, since it was so different. We were like wondering this whole time what this was going to look like, when it had been filmed. We knew that we were not invited to a live finale, as they had it in years past. So what did you think of this structure, this stage, and pros and cons?
And I just want to point out, as once again, Jillian is committed to visual gags for a non-visual podcast, when I said Robbie Turner was Rue's driver, Jillian, for the first time, I believe, in history, did the peppermint X fingers, which I really appreciate it. But the structure of this episode, I think, like you said, you and I were both like, what? And I think along with everybody else, it's like, what is this going to be? Because nobody got invitations to this thing. Like, usually they do send them out. They film it, what was like a month or so before? Or like maybe, a couple of weeks before.
3 to 4 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so there's usually, you do see some tea coming out beforehand. Like, you see people online or saying, so I'm guessing that's why they did this. Because I don't think the finale structure was different enough to really justify it requiring an entirely new format. I think that this is probably just a way for them to, one, maybe save money, because they clearly use the Secret Celebrity Drag Race stage for this. Two, it's to control, you know, that kind of stuff, which that's their prerogative. I mean, it's their product, their show. If they want to control the finale, how they're going to control it, like, this is probably, you know, best for them to do it like that. But I also just want to, I think that there are some people out there that are saying like, oh, they thought that this might have been due to the strikes and stuff. And I'm just like, that doesn't really make sense, because the actors, like, SAG is not, the Drag Race is not a SAG production. So it's like, that doesn't, and also it was filmed before the SAG strike. So it doesn't necessarily make sense that, you know, it would have been a SAG.
It doesn't make any sense, because also the kind of people, like, having whoever was actually in this audience, if they were like extras or something, that would be like more of a SAG thing to worry about, even though you don't, because it's a reality show, than to have a bunch of queens from past casts and members of the media and friends of the show show up just as audience members to a live event. Like, people were allowed to go to award shows and things like that. So I don't think the rumors of it being strike related, none of them have made any sense to
me. Yeah,
it seems like pure leakage, although it's just like going from one extreme to another, because the finale event that I was at last year, they did not stop people from using their cameras. Like, most people where I was seated were well behaved, but we had, like, there was a lot of technical difficulties and things happening that, like, we were there for hours and hours and hours, mm-hmm. and they were like, kind of, people were just, you know, doing whatever as they pleased. And so I was not surprised that leaks came out last season. But that's such a departure from not even letting these queens go home for a couple of months to prepare for this mm-hmm. finale, which is what seems to be the case here.
Yeah.
But it does seem that, I mean, like, when you're talking about the people and the interactions and the things that you were seeing at this, the viewing party, like, that's really what I was missing from just watching, seeing who was in the audience, seeing these, like, I really miss that we did not get the previous season's cast.
Yeah, there were almost no always Rue invited girls in to come back.
Yeah. We didn't have Rue girls. We did. I mean, especially this season, we have a lot of queens that have famous drag mothers like Candy and other people that like are from the show that are closely associated with them that we could have had there. We could have had Hershey's cute little family and her kids in the audience, which we didn't get. We didn't get any like pork chop moments. So that was really lacking to me. And just, it was so small and you could tell by the, I mean, just like when you're talking about like which queens got the biggest cheers, like that's the kind of thing that happens in the audience. And even when they were introducing the guest judges, I was like, I know that like crowd probably would have gone more wild for T.S. Madison now that she's like a recurring judge.
Yeah.
And it just felt very like regulated and produced that, you know, everything was just very, you know, what they wanted us to see and hear. And I do really, really miss that and knowing that we're seeing, well, I want to say genuine reactions from the crowd, but you can still edit that from the other finale event too. But I missed a lot of that kind of stuff happening in the crowd, seeing celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Mayan Lopez? She didn't get to sit in the audience. We didn't get to see her again.
Oh no. The world is lamenting.
But also like videos from like when Kevin Bacon did a video or people, you know, celebrity like Snatch Game celebrities and
Katy
things
Perry
like that.
Did a video one year.
Are also fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we missed all of that. I really did miss that.
Carol Channing.
yes. But what did you have any favorite looks from this? I mean, honestly, my favorite, I would say my favorite Plain Jane look of all time is the look that you saw at your viewing party of her as Baba Yaga.
So
like if she had done something like that, I do encourage all of our listeners who didn't see any of those videos to please go look up the red carpet shots from that.
They're so funny.
But on the actual runway of the show, what were your highlights?
I thought that Maya looked, of course, stunning, dripping and like, tinsel from a Christmas tree. She looked absolutely stunning. Safira, I loved that it was a very clear nod and reference to her first little Fisher Price breastplate moment. And then it was a glow up when she had her giant blue breasts, or breasts in blue fabric on the runway. I also really liked Safira's outfit that she wore. It was kind of like the Bowser looking Nintendo kind of look that she did in those little video transitions where she had the blonde pigtails and the spikes. Yes. I thought that was a really good look. And I thought Plasma's look was really good on the runway. I thought Hershey looked good.
I thought Hershey looked so pretty. I just didn't understand why she comes out in that stunning blue dress. And then later she's also in blue for the power.
Yeah.
So I was like, girl, why didn't you wear that for that one? And then just like another outfit, but it was fine. Runway looked stunning.
Mirage too. Mirage is just, I'm like getting more and more obsessed with Mirage as the weeks go on. Megami also looked good. I thought like, I think a lot of them really pulled out some really good looks for this finale. So, And who was your favorite?
I think Hershey looked just really pretty to me, and I'm glad she got that moment. And I loved Nymphia's banana. I think that was like exactly to do at the finale and with the sparkly banana. I thought was really cute.
Her finale look in New York City. Oh my God, that look incredible. Oh my God, so good.
But I was the one thing,
I
my
know,
one big critique know. Is that Geneva, after all this time telling us about your designed, groomed leg hair at first before the season premiered, we heard it in Joey's interview. Then when it was on the show, you also said it on the show, and we never got to see the leg hair. I understand that it was too hard to do on a runway, that it takes hours to groom.
But for the finale,
why can you not do it for the finale? I just wanted to see that so badly, and I think it would have been great.
Well, Jillian, lucky for you, her TikTok exists, so you can go look at her TikTok and see it.
Yes.
You also pointed out to me the other day, which I did not realize, that there was no golden boot.
Yeah.
Do you want to read on here, Jillian?
Well, I mean, I think this, my golden boot winner was Amanda with the bird nest costume that just did
Jillian.
Not fit into the theme in any way.
Jillian.
I'm sorry, that's my golden boot. I think that there's no way at this point they could have given Amanda a golden boot because I think she would have taken it way too harshly. And so I'm, for that reason, I'm glad. And because I mean, we know that Selena also did take hers a little bit harshly, although yeah. she has come to fully embrace it.
She's online the other day saying the golden chancla.
Oh, she gave out a golden chancla yes. to Morphine, but she said that it was for like the best lip sync of the season. Yeah. And she's keeping the golden boot for herself since they didn't ask for it back. So, mm-hmm. but I mean, I am kind of, I don't know. I do like a tradition and I don't want anyone's feelings to get hurt about
yeah.
winning this award. But I think for the first couple that won it, it seemed like they, you know, took it in the right spirit.
Maybe they tried to give it to yeah. Amanda and then Amanda, and then they couldn't go through with it.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Maybe. Who knows? Well, we also got our three finalists doing their top three solo lip sync numbers to original songs. So we had Nymphia, Plain, and Saphira all doing performances. And this all led to Plain ultimately getting eliminated as our second runner up. And I think out of these, I think Saphira obviously was the clear winner of this round. I think that hers was the most thought out. It had the most theatrics. It had that pull at the beginning when they pulled away her dress and she was standing. Oh, it was just so good. Her splits, her dancing. It felt a lot like the Power Challenge where it was like the Saphira show and yeah, all eyes are on her. She owns every inch of that stage when she is on it. And I thought Nymphia told a really good story with hers too. She talks a little bit about in her winner interview what that story meant and how it was about being weighed down by insecurities, and she chose to represent that through traditional Peking opera general style. And it, I thought that was a very interesting lip sync as well. Plains, I think, was funny, but I think my, and I mean, obviously she looks stunning, but I think the issue with, and I think the judges maybe were pointing this out a little bit, is that it's almost like Plain, like she hits her note and it's funny. But then there's no, like, it's like she hits the note and then that's the sort of gag and it sustains for the, you know, 2 or so minutes of when she was performing. And I think that's what Michelle meant when she said, well, maybe if there was more bodysuits, like it might have been a little bit funnier, which, and that's not to take anything away from the performance. I mean, she looked amazing. The song was fun and she performed the hell out of it. But yeah, it's almost like I think that they're just looking for maybe to push it like one step further and to do something else that takes it beyond just hitting the initial joke and then stretching the joke out through the whole song, which I know she's yeah. capable of. So
I definitely was with Michelle that I would have loved if it had stretched it out to just a comically ridiculous amount like of bodysuits. I did appreciate, like rewatching it, I did appreciate that the bodysuit that she comes out in is a nude illusion. So you really did not see, and it's not like the bodysuit underneath was like way smaller. It was like basically the same and yeah. with these bright neon colors. So I did really appreciate that I didn't see it coming, mm-hmm. but I just also didn't care as much about like once it happened as I think other reveals on the show or just doing something that, yeah, pushed the limit a little bit more.
Yeah, but she is just, I mean, you know, all in all, I think that Plain, whether people did not were rubbed the wrong way by her or really sort of started to lean into her, whether from the beginning or through as the season progressed, I think you can't deny that she has given us one of the most memorable performances on Drag Race because of the amount of attention and controversy she has generated since episode one. So, I mean, It almost well, like
but that. How much we appreciate that, I guess, is to the individual observer. Well, no,
I think that you can look at it and say that you appreciate the, I guess, well, is guts the right word? I want to use another word, but I don't want to be crass. But like the amount of, I don't know. It takes a lot of charisma to go nerve we'll say to go on a show, completely lean into that personality and completely just not be deterred by it. And I think that she's a really fascinating person, a really fascinating drag queen. And like she says in our interview coming up, there is never a part of her that takes this art form like so seriously that she lets it get the better of her. And she likes things to be unserious, and at the root of it, she just can't take the art form seriously. So she likes to lean into camp and beauty and just, you know, really lean into the funniness of it all. So that part of me, I do appreciate that part of her. And I think that she has been an entertaining presence on this show the entire time.
Well, we all have our views.
Yeah. And that's not to say, like, you know, people that entertain us and that we enjoy watching can't do things that we don't agree with. Like, I mean, I don't, you know, as Plain said herself in these interviews, if she had known what Amanda was going through, she would not have said the things that she did. And she says in our interview coming up that, like, she's done with it. Like, she's done dogging on Amanda, and she is over it. And so, I mean, I don't know. I think America will still have their opinions on her no matter what, as they will have their opinions on anything from this show. But in the end of it, like, yes, I do think that Plain Jane was, you know, I love mess, and I love any sort of wild energy that Plain Jane brought to this season. I think it was, I do appreciate that.
So you did. Okay. I did call it that. You turned into a Plain Jane stan in the end.
Well, I don't think stan is necessarily. You win, Jillian. You win. There you go. We'll give that to you on our final episode. But I know we do want to discuss also this hilarious moment when the editors cut to this shot of Amanda looking absolutely like stone, like just completely staring down Plain Jane whenever RuPaul was talking to her after the bodysuit number. And yeah, let me tell
really
you,
stole the finale with this.
The reaction in the room at this finale party, I think they screamed louder for that than they did for Safira's performance. It was so funny. People were standing up, snapping their fingers. It was like, it went on for at least 15 seconds. It was hilarious. So yeah, that moment is forever a Drag Race iconic moment, I think.
Yep, for sure. So the show continued something it started last season with Bob Mackie by presenting the second annual Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award to Cassandra Peterson, aka one of my all-time icons, Elvira, the originator of the How's Your Head joke, and to whom I once spent approximately 666 minutes on a previous podcast doing my own ode to.
Yes, you did.
An explanation of that joke. So yes, I did cry during her tribute for those wondering. And I am predicting right now that if they do this award again next season, it will go to another of my and Rue's shared icons, John Waters. And I have all the evidence that I will share later. Oh, in another newer tradition, we get a cast performance from the eliminated queens, who all come out in red, white, or blue to perform the political anthem Power. Since it was so much catchier than anything in this season's Rusical, despite showing up in a sparkly white outfit later, Plain does not join them in this performance or in the presentation of Miss Congeniality. Winner as Lux and a reluctant mistress did do last season. But just like season 16 filmed a tribute to Tina Turner just before she died in real life, we get another tribute to a not yet dead at the time celeb when season 15's Miss Congeniality, Malaysia Baby Doll Fox, comes out dressed as NYC's
fallen
icon,
Jillian
Flacco,
my baby
Flacco, the escaped Central Park Zoo owl. And in a moment that was as shocking as Flacco learning you can't fly through a building, we learned that for the first time in Drag Race history.
I can't believe you just said that.
We have a tie for Miss Congeniality.
Like on Twitter being like, I was a strong, courageous American eagle for this. And you're like, she's Flacco. My baby Flacco. I was so sad when Flacco died. He was my little baby.
Well, the first is Tsunami Muse. Completing the Muse family rehabilitation, followed by finalist Safira Cristal, who runs out from backstage wearing a robe to collect her prize. Are we happy about the Miss C tie and the recipients?
Yes.
You're typing something into the doc that I don't even know
you're
saying.
Yes, because you had Safira's last name spelled C-R-I-S-T-O-L. Safira Cristal.
How is it? A-L? Oh my god. Well, I still said it correctly, so who cares?
Crystal, Saphira Crystal. I think that and I made sure I asked Tsunami this too at the event. I said, was this when you said in our first interview that you were gonna rehabilitate the Muse image, this is what you were talking about. And she was like, she was like, I'm dropping those little Easter eggs there. I forgot to say that earlier. But yes, so she did confirm that. And she also, I think that, yeah, Tsunami is a good winner for this, because as we could sense, whenever we were asking the questions earlier in the season of like, you know, did Candy pass down her legacy or whatever to you? Are you continuing the Muse legacy? And then when we asked everybody in the group interview, like, who's the queen of Untucked, they all turned around and pointed to Tsunami. And we were like, okay, something's coming. But then it actually ended up being the opposite of that, is that it's Tsunami's afters and everybody just loves Tsunami. And she's just such a good sister to like kiki with instead of actually starting drama in Untucked. So yeah, this doesn't surprise me that she won Miss C, and the other queens seem to really like her. And Plain even says coming up that Tsunami was even more likable than what they were able to show up, because she said every day she was just high energy, positive spirits, being so kind and nice to everybody. Plain said this. So, I think that definitely it was not a surprise that she won. I do think the tie was a surprise, yes. Because I too was also under the impression that if you were a finalist, like, you couldn't win Miss Congeniality. And it wasn't until we learned of this news and I was going back and I saw that Nina Flowers is the only other runner-up who has ever gotten Miss Congeniality. So now Saphira is one of them. And it was funny because she had to run out from backstage in her little robe and she grabbed her flowers and she said, it pays to be kind. And yeah, I think that if Saphira was not a finalist, I would have predicted her to get Miss Congeniality. Like, if she had come in fourth place, I would have been like, yeah, Missy is Saphira's. But so it was nice to see them have a tie.
Now, if you could pick one tie on this episode, is that the one you would have wanted, or?
No. No.
Okay.
No. Okay, so what is your quote theory about Plain?
Well, you wrote that in there, so I don't really know.
Yeah,
you wrote Jillian's theory about
Plain. You already referenced it a little bit here when you're like, oh, Plain was wearing white in the audience, and then she come out for the power performance. And I was like, Jillian, she's not a previously eliminated queen. She got eliminated in the context of this episode, and none of the top three were on stage. Nymphia wasn't, Saphira wasn't, and Plain wasn't. They were the finalists. They were not on stage for Miss Congeniality. And she was also not in the performance.
But let's just be clear on timeline. She was, at this point in the episode, she was eliminated.
Okay, so you think...
And she does happen to come out in a sparkly white thing. And last year at the finale, Lux and Mistress were previously eliminated, and they did come out on stage for Miss Congeniality.
So you think that the producers told Saphira, Nymphia, and Plain, just in case you all have to learn this power choreography too, and then decided to, at the last second, be like, okay, you all just wait backstage. We're not going to have you perform this number.
Maybe.
No, Jillian, they were not. The finalists weren't there.
Why'd she come out in sparkly white? Okay, that's a different argument then. I could see your point, maybe, of not coming out to participate in power, but what is your excuse for Miss
Congeniality? Maybe she just wanted to wear a white look. Like, I don't know.
You're answering a different question. Why did she not come out on stage for Miss Congeniality in whatever she was wearing?
Why did Nymphia and Saphira not come out for Miss Congeniality?
Because they were preparing for their final lip sync. They had not been already eliminated. Why did Lux and a very reluctant Mistress end up coming out?
The only ones who were standing on stage were the queens who participated in the power lip sync.
And Saphira proved that you could come out from backstage to join.
Yes, but I think this in a produced television show, I think that also adds to like the element of surprise with the twist. It's like, okay, have her backstage so that it's a misdirect and they don't think that she can actually win. So we're going to keep all of the finalists backstage. And then I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds like a cover up on your end, but I'm saying yes, there's something going on with Plain Jane. Because if I was producing a show, I would absolutely want the least congenial person in the history of the show to be out on that stage during the Miss Congeniality vote to at least pan over to her at some point as a punchline.
Well, she but does.
We did not get that.
Say later in this, I asked her if she would have voted for herself for Miss C, and she says, yes, she would have.
So I think that she probably would have stolen. She would have ripped it out of their hands.
Ripped it out of someone's hand. That's run why off. They were restraining her.
She was actually in she was wearing all white. It was not a life jacket. What's it called?
Life jacket? A straight jacket?
Straight jacket. Can't even think of straight things on this show.
No. Okay, Jillian, how's your head?
What? I said, actually, it hurts. Actually, it hurts. A lot of people tell me my head hurts.
On the Alvira tribute episode, you can't even come through with the joke.
I was making a dirty joke. Let's move on.
Jeez.
Miss Candy, how do you feel about Tsunami getting the scene?
Baby, Amuse finally won a crown. But listen, the dichotomy of Miss Congeniality, Tsunami, and the House of Villains being the villain, me. Bitch, you can't make this shit up. I live.
Well, the return of Sasha Colby is something that I was looking forward to. Her step-down look. Initially, I thought when they brought her out and she was only wearing that, the boots and the, I guess it was essentially a bodysuit. What would you call that? Like a cat suit, I guess,
body
what she was
suit,
wearing.
Bodysuit.
And I was like, oh no. I was like, is this Sasha Colby's step down look? And then she was doing her performance, which she has never made. Nobody in this world has ever made the simple act of pulling up and pulling down a zipper look as amazing as Sasha Colby did. And then when they came back and she had that look, her actual step down look on, oh my God. I will go as far as to say that this is the best step down look, I think.
You texted me that you were watching the screener at the same time as me, and you were a little bit ahead, and you said that.
Oh, yeah. What? How did that happen? Because you were so far ahead of me. How did I get ahead of you?
I like to pause and go back, and I was freeze framing because somebody, please, listeners, go freeze frame. There's someone sitting in the audience who is cosplaying as Safira's confessional look, this blue suit with a yellow shirt, and I was like really stuck on that. There was actually two. One had like a green shirt, but red as blue and yellow. So it was distracting to me. But you said this and I got mad and I was like, don't, you're going to like make it more, you're going to make it like a letdown for me. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh no, that was fully like accurate. Everything Joey just said was accurate.
It really is. I think the only ones that maybe approach it for me would be the makeup on Violet's is just so stunning. The veins on her clavicles. And I mean, maybe Sasha Velour's. So Sasha Velour's. Willow's. Willow's is really good. Jada's is pretty. Who else? I know Simone's gets a lot of shit from, you know, fans of the incorrect capitalization segment, but like I really like Simone's. I think that hers is fantastic.
Oh no, Simone's was really cool and
so
on brand.
Good. Yeah. Yes, the but jeans.
But for the US franchises, I think that this is probably gonna be my top look. And I think especially just the way she played into it and was like continuing what she did at the finale of like saying she wanted to be so naked, but like having the earrings come down into like the
boobs.
Pasty bra thing was just so smart. So,
oh yes.
Yeah. And I was also just really excited that we got a full performance from our outgoing winner. That is something about this format. That is the one thing I will say I liked over this finale versus any other finale is getting a proper, which I don't think they could have done.
Well, they
without
did,
like stopping to give her more time to go change backstage.
They did that for last year's though too.
Well, she came out to sing with Cornbread, but she didn't do her own routine, did she?
No. I'm talking about a reigning winner come out and perform.
Wait, what did she perform? I only remember her coming out during Cornbread's rap.
No. I'm saying Jinx. Jinx came out and did and performed last year.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean like the outgoing reigning queen. Yes, like seeing Jinx there was amazing, didn't do that and then do the whole step down. It was
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. Yes. Oh, so it's like I would like to see that incorporated going forward for sure. Like if we get to see Nymphia do a performance next year before she comes in, which by the way, you know Nymphia's step down look is going to be in the running for the best of all time. You know she's going to have a really good step down look too. If this is what she wore to the New York City event, to like that was a step down look in itself, what she wore to the New York City event.
Absolutely. That was stunning. But this brings us to the main event, versus Safira, lip sync for the crown to Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue. Safira wearing vampire fangs. And Nymphia dressed as bubble tea. Oh. Then just as Kylie sings the line about shivers and butterflies, Nymphia opens her coat to release black helium balloons representing boba balls. She also cartwheels out of her dress, does a Maya-esque handstand into a flip off the back wall, jumps over her pile of reveal clothes, which she kept referring to as a landmine, to work both sides of the stage and really interact with the audience, which is something we don't always see. Safira does a ponytail reveal and bounces one of her boobs in her hand. They both do some impressive high kicks and splits. Ultimately, RuPaul declares Nymphia Wind as the winner of her first and only competitive lip sync on this show and our new reigning queen. This means she becomes the first ever East Asian winner of a U.S. edition and only the second queen of Asian descent to take the title 13 years after Raja won season 3 and following Sasha, the second consecutive AAPI queen to win the flagship show. So her crowning really marks a long-deserved moment of representation for the show where that really does matter. She also got a shout-out from the president of Taiwan, which was just so incredible. But we're both on record on the show entering this finale predicting Safira would win, also both picking her as our personal fave.
Yeah.
But when we each watched, and like I said, we were both watching the screener, and the whole time we were like, wow, this is really Safira's episode. And the screener does cut off before the winner is revealed, so we don't know for sure, but we immediately texted each other like, Nymphia is clearly the winner of that lip sync, despite everything else, flawless presentation from Safira this whole episode. So walk me through your thoughts. I know the fandom, as always, has had so many thoughts on coming down to a final lip sync versus the entire run of the show. I think it does. The one thing it makes me do is just reflect on the entire show as a whole differently now that we see this, because this was filmed. This was like in the hopper this whole time. Maybe they didn't or did decide the winner before now, but they knew what this was. And they still chose to present Nymphia in a certain way on the show because we know like this does all come down to editing. And so I think my one issue now in hindsight, and I mean, I always said that I was fine if Nymphia were to win, but I think she has more to show in All Stars because they kept pushing this angle of, oh, I have anxiety and I'm not sure if I'm doing well. And I'm always like in a ball on the floor, which in hindsight is kind of a weird thing to do to your winner, where I think Safira would have still come off as mother this season. But I think there was a way they could have highlighted Nymphia in maybe a way that, I don't know, didn't make anyone, I don't think we questioned her win, but I think it was, you know, not like, I don't know, it did a disservice to Nymphia to me the way that we presented her. But sorry, walk me through your thoughts on the actual lip sync itself and what was happening, because I know that you were getting really distracted by Nymphia's reveal at first.
Yeah, I think that, listen, like, yes, we are on record on this podcast. It's hard to cover a show like this without having your personal favorites. I mean, like, we loved Maya Iman LePage. Like, we love Jessica Wilde. Like, there's Tammy Brown. There are certain queens that just do it for us. And Safira was one of those queens. And I think it also just felt, there's just a feeling you get with certain queens. And she did feel like the Sasha Colby of the season. She felt like, I was like, okay, this is established. This is mother. This is the queen superior, Safira. And she just had that energy. And she didn't have knowing what we know about this show and how editing works, it just felt like her narrative was mother winner. Like it, her, even now knowing that she's runner up, a Saphira run on All Stars doesn't necessarily make sense in my mind. Like I'm like, she, it's like winner is the only narrative that really makes sense for me with Saphira. But and Saphira also says this in our interview coming up, like she absolutely thinks, she says, I know that this came down to the final lip sync. She says, I would have won if it did not come down to the final lip sync. And it was the final lip sync and the final lip sync only that determined it. And that's not to discredit what Nymphia did throughout the whole season. I mean, like we have also said on this podcast, Nymphia has one of the strongest runway packages in all of Drag Race history. I mean, she, that tie look with hairspray was so amazing.
Hairspray.
I was waiting for Jillian to pick up on that I said hairspray. But I mean, she just, Nymphia, like runway queen, excellent. She also had some really good workroom moments, really good interactions with the other queens, really funny in her confessionals. But I do think, yes, in terms of track record and actual editing on the show, it all signs pointed to Mother Saphira. And that lip sync, I mean, there's an interesting point that Jillian and I were talking about a little bit before this recording that Saphira brought up in her interview, where she was like, because I asked both of them what their approach was to the song. And Nymphia said, well, Padam Padam is, you know, when you think of a song, like I think she used, there's a song by Nicki Minaj that she used. I forget which one it was, but she was like, that's a very specific song that has a vibe to it that you have to do a certain type of lip sync to. But Padam Padam, she was like, that's a more neutral song. You can really bring a bunch of different things to that song and still have it narratively make sense. So she was like, I knew I wanted to represent and I wanted to have the boba tea, and it still made sense within the context of this song. And Saphira said that they actually were, well, she didn't say this explicitly, but I think what she was hinting at was, she said, I was locked away from the world when Padam Padam came out. And then I went back and looked at the date that Padam Padam came out. I'm pretty sure they were filming Drag Race when that song had its moment and came out. So they got this song for the finale, I guess, in this vacuum of not experiencing it as like a big pop cultural moment. And I'm not saying that that would have influenced the way that they approached the song and the lip sync, but it is just interesting to see that what their sort of bare bones approach to just hearing that song on its own was, when the only thing that they had to go on was, this is Kylie Minogue, who is a world renowned icon, and also this is her new song. No other context for it whatsoever. And Saphira explains what she was doing, and she also reveals that she had an unused gag with a beating heart that she had planned to bring, but logistically she said it didn't work out.
That's the one thing she couldn't, all of these giant gowns, the one thing she couldn't fit in the suitcase was a tiny little heart that could have won her the entire show.
Well, she said she wanted to pull it out of something, and she didn't say what she was going to pull it out of, which I'm assuming it would have been like a body. But I did say, did you plan to do like liquid blood? And she was like, no, I wouldn't have wanted to sabotage Nymphia that way. And I said, well, Nymphia certainly left you some landmines all over that stage, which she got a kick out of. But I you know, it is heartbreaking when you see, and it doesn't matter if you're rooting for the person or not, because I remember there was a season of the Great British Bake Off where, I think it was two or three seasons ago, where there was this baker who had decimated the competition. Like, when I tell you, she had won more challenges than anybody else. We went into that finale being like, there's no way that she is not going to win. And she completely fell on her face in that final episode and she lost. And it was like a huge shock. And I'm not saying Saphira fell on her face. I don't think Saphira fell on her face, but I'm just like watching that lip sync. I'm just like, all Saphira had to do was wear a giant breastplate, do a little shimmying, and during the first chorus of Padam Padam, take off the giant breastplate to reveal the little Fisher Price boobs and bounce them on the floor again, she would have won the whole show. And it's I'm frustrated for her, because I think, you know, talking about it, I think she knows that it came down to that lip sync. And God, it's like you wish that heart would have, for her sake, that heart would have come through. But I don't want to in any way discredit what Nymphia did, because yes, like I think going into it, like we said, the narrative makes sense for Saphira. But Nymphia proved that you pull it out in that final lip sync. You do an epic, amazing job with these reveals, which I will say the first few, I was like, okay, is this just, are we just doing reveals for the sake of reveals? And then we get to dancing and it's an amazing performance.
Boba at first?
I didn't. And I remember I had to text you and I was like, wait, what do the balloons mean? And then I was like, oh, like, duh, it's Boba pearls. And, so when you watch, when I watch the lip sync back and I'm like, this is one of the ones like where it gets better and better and better and better when you keep watching it back. And I'm just like, this is, it was a great lip sync and she completely dominated that lip sync, I think. And
yeah, she did a really flawless job. But I think that's another thing that I mean, I really do wonder what would have happened if Plaine had never given her that immunity potion.
I asked or Plaine just about that.
Anything else had happened that we got to see Nymphia lip sync. And so I don't know, like, I do wonder, I wonder if, I mean, it could have gone two ways. Like, either this made us like really have no idea what a Nymphia lip sync was like, so when it was amazing it was like even more amazing because we just didn't know what to expect, or would it have given her that narrative of, oh, she's a really killer lip sync and she would have like really pulled it out in that and saved herself, and we were like, like then put them on like really equal footing of like this could be anyone's game.
Yes.
And other than like having, I don't want to say like manipulated, but I mean like whatever, it's production, like really just push that angle of this is Saphira's to win, like you were saying, like if we are, you know, watching it as a TV show that it is.
And maybe that, maybe this does speak to, maybe we are all assuming that there is more of a production influencer hand than there actually is. I mean, maybe it does really just come down to they present how they feel the queens are best represented and it comes down to the final lip sync and then they choose it based on that. Maybe we all just assume that there's way too much influence, more so than there actually is, because I don't think anybody watching just this finale. But see, then it's like I go back to Saphira so clearly dominated the first round. Like, she won that solo number so hard. She did. And so I don't know. And Nymphia really pulled it out in the final lip sync, though. And we do just have to congratulate her because it was a great performance and a great run all season. So bananas peeled for Nymphia for pulling it out. She is an excellent queen. And I think she's going to do some really interesting things with her career after the show, because when in the winner interview and I asked her what was coming next, she didn't say the typical things that you would think a queen would say. Like, she said she wants to do a lot of collaborations with artists, like, so not like recording artists or whatever, but like actual working performance artists. So I think we're going to see some really interesting conceptual things to come from Nymphia.
Yeah. And it really did make me much more excited, because the thing I was so excited the whole season about Nymphia was the looks. And I mean, like, yeah, her runway package was immaculate, but then saving this lip sync for last, I'm not somebody who went and was like looking at a bunch of her old YouTubes or anything. So I really had no idea what a Nymphia lip sync battle or same, like this kind of performance was going to be. Well, no, not
same. I understand what you're saying, but I did look at her.
And so this really made me so much more excited to like, there's like a whole, the excitement I had of seeing Nymphia in All Stars of like, I bet there's a whole new other side to Nymphia I haven't seen, is now like, instead of seeing that hopefully on All Stars, I'm going to get to see it for the next year in whatever she's doing as winner. So that is really exciting.
And on all winners too.
Yes.
Well,
not confirmed by UW.
Not confirmed. Yeah, we're just speculating. Speculation. Yes. Well, sharpen those vampire fangs and clutch that padam padamming heart, because our interview with Mother Saphira Crystal, our season 16 runner up and one of two Miss Congeniality winners of the season, is coming up next. Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast. We're wrapping up the epic Drag Race season 16 finale with our runner-up queen, whose legacy on the show is already nearly as big as the suitcase required to transport her stunning looks on the airplane to set. Here to shine a light on the season 16 finale, as bright as her glisten, like the gem that she is, please welcome the legendary Saphira Crystal. I hope you're enjoying your bagel.
It's okay.
Well, you know, something that was not just okay, Miss Saphira, was your run on RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, I just have to applaud you again. I mean, you did so well on this season. You were so amazing. And I just hope that you are so happy with everything you did on the show.
I'm extremely happy about it. It was a great time. I just had a great time. I had fun the entire time. Mm-hmm. You know, the end result was what it was, but honestly, it really doesn't matter, because what I got to show is that you can be the best and also be kind and generous and compassionate and loving at the same time. I did exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And it really resonated, I think, with a lot of people, including in the room when you sort of took us all to church and led us in your sermon up from the stage in New York City. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about this final lip sync. I mean, the vampire teeth. Can you discuss your approach to that number and why you chose the vampire aesthetic for the song Padam Padam?
Well, I mean, I said before, when this song came out, I was not anywhere in the public at all. I didn't even know that it existed until we heard it. And I was like, what is this song? What's going on here? I didn't know it was the national or the worldwide sensation that it is. And so, you know, when you come at it from this very pure place, I just thought, oh, it's about hearts. Who loves hearts? Who loves blood? Who loves to hear the pumping of blood? It would be the one and only, you know, Nosferatu. You know, you think about Interview with a Vampire, you think about Blade, you think about From Dusk Till Dawn, and I just think about these sexy vampires who seduce people and hear their blood pumping, and it makes them excited. And that was my approach, was just to be a sexy vampire.
Yeah. Did you initially, maybe, because I know a lot of times we hear that there are maybe some things that are planned and then they don't work out on stage. Like, did you actually have at any point, like, conceptualizing actual liquid blood on the stage with you?
No, I was not going to do that. Liquid blood would prevent... There are too many unknowns when it comes to having liquids on stage. And I don't think that there's one way. I want to win by winning and not by sabotaging anyone. So I don't, as we saw, Nivea was doing a lot. And at some point she slipped over some blood, I would have felt horrible.
Yeah.
I did, and I just couldn't get it together. I did want to have a pumping heart. That I took out of something and had in my hand. It just didn't work out. But that was not like something that didn't happen because of production or anything.
Right.
It was just
right.
Like,
logistically.
Logistically.
Well, I mean, you could have done the liquid blood and not felt bad about it, because Nymphia seemingly did leave landmines for you all over that stage. Little banana peels for you to slip on.
I don't know where to go because it's everywhere.
She did. She said it was not sabotage, but who's to say? Looking back, though, do you think, would you have done anything differently if given the chance? Like, does it feel like the title came down to just that final lip sync and that final lip sync only?
I think it would have to have, because if it didn't come down to that final lip sync, I won the whole thing. It definitely came down to that final lip sync and that final lip sync only. I could not have done any better on my solo number. It was
so good.
Chef's kiss. No notes. It was 100% A+, honey.
Yep.
The energy from the room while performing it was an energy I've never felt in my life. Everyone was on the tips of their seats. And when I landed in that final split, they erupted from their seats. It wasn't even like, okay, now let's stand and clap. It was like, I've been waiting to do this for most of this number. It was sickening. And so to be in a place where, I mean, I won three things in a row. I guess the one thing that I would do different.
What is that?
is the makeover challenge. I, you know, it landed me in the bottom. And until then, I hadn't even been in the bottom at all. Like, not even in the bottom three. Like, I was just top or safe. And mainly, yeah. Like, I had, I think, two safes, maybe three safes. And so that kind of did put a little damper on my record. But I don't know. I don't think that that really mattered that much. But yeah. Just my personal preference, I would have, you know, maybe done a little something different. I would have prepared two things for my makeover challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Thing and like something that's like still very severe, but also danceable.
Yeah. I can see where you might want to maybe remix that a little bit. But I mean, there was also this element, I think, that it, you know, many people had gone into this season after episode one saying that like a Saphira victory felt predestined from the beginning, and that like, you know, there was a lot of comparisons of you to Sasha Colby. Like, so do you think that calling you the mother of the season like that, do you think that that helped or hurt you in the long run?
I don't know that it made any impression on anyone on like, I don't think it hurt me. I did what I did because I knew it was right. I knew that it was important to be myself and not anyone else. And I am a very generous person and I'm a very genuine person. I lead with compassion, love, and kindness. And I think that, especially now, it was very important to do that as opposed to, I mean, there's another side. I'm a Libra. I could have played the game completely differently and still done very, very well. But I don't think that I try to help people be their best so that when I beat them, I felt that much better. Because I don't want to beat you when you're struggling. I don't want to beat you when not you're 100%. I want to beat you at your best because that's when I know. Okay.
Yeah, I understand that. And so, but, you know, moving back a few seconds, are you saying that there was a inclination there for a moment that maybe this was going to be the Saphira was going to join Team Plain Jane and be the opposite end of that Libra spectrum?
No, there was no way that was happening because Plain, as much as I love her, she didn't have all this. This right here, and this right here, honey. There's an instance when I told Amanda that her drag, that her personality was so much better than her drag. And people were like, oh my God. And then I realized, oh shoot. My best friend said, you as Miss Congeniality is crazy. Because a lot of people know the other side.
Oh no.
They also know that I'm a very kind and genuine person. And like, there's a reason why they're my best friend is because I will always show up for you. I'm always here for the people. And like when people have been coming up to me and telling me how much they loved my run, some people have come up to me and told me how I've inspired them to do better in their life, to escape certain really bad situations that they were in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it that is what I do it for. That's why I did it. And not because I knew that was going to happen, but because there is only one way to live your life and be an example to people. Like, you just do it. You can't. I don't have an ulterior motive. This is the way I was raised.
Yeah. Am I getting that Honey Davenport is the one who told you that winning Miss Congeniality is crazy?
No. My best friend, Eric Jaffe, who was there.
Oh, yeah, Eric. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He was like, okay. You, Miss Congeniality, that's crazy.
That is so funny. I do love that, though, you have led a lot with kindness and compassion. And something else that you led with on this episode was the giant breastplate compared to those Fisher-Price little breasts from episode one. So I am curious, though, where are the old Fisher-Price titties? Did you keep them? Will you perform with them again?
They're at my house. I might auction them off if anyone wants them. who knows? I think I'm going to auction them off because guess what? I have an album coming out.
Yes, and, you do.
Baby, that thing needs to get fully paid for. We're funding the album. We're funding the tour. We have a tour coming out. I got the Crystal Ball Tour, which is a magical musical comedy extravaganza that will really let the world know exactly who Safira Crystal is. And it's just, I'm excited to show the world who I am. And if these titties can, if the breastplate can help that happen, then baby, who wants it? Who wants it?
Yes.
This is legendary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's one of my favorite moments of all time from the show. You just bouncing them on that stage. I rewatched it so many times before the finale and was just laughing just as hard as I was the first time. It's such a good moment, Safira. And I did also like that RuPaul sort of was keeping tabs on this in the episode because I think it was the second to last episode where Ru came in and was like, oh, Safira, where did those come from? Because you had the new one. And she was like, you have a breastplate connection. What did she mean by that?
You know, like you, some people have a cookie connection, you know, and that my cookie connection is definitely the Girl Scouts. But like other people have their different cookie connections. So I have a breastplate. Honestly, I brought like a million breastplates when I came. But
yeah,
honestly, it was, you know, you never know when you need to pull out what. And
never know.
I what could fit that outfit were the teeny breastplates, and that was it. So that's what we pulled out, and it worked out because at the end of the day, you really have to be present. And at some point, I realized what was happening, and I remember dropping down and then starting to bounce. And I looked as I was looking, I saw them laughing, and I said, "Just keep going, just keep going." And I remember just thinking, "Please don't break. Please don't." I just didn't want the breastplate to break. I just wanted it to keep on bouncing. Just keep going. What do they say in Finding Nemo? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Just keep bouncing.
Just keep bouncing. Just keep bouncing. Just keep bouncing. And, you know, when it happened, it is literally in the zeitgeist of Drag Race.
Yes. I love that. I hope that you at some point sell merch that is just necklaces like that, because I would absolutely purchase one.
That's really, you have no idea how long we've been trying to figure out the merch for this.
Well, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. And I mean, your looks on this show, I mean, there was this hilarious moment on episode one, but I mean, very serious, your looks on this show. They've been so good. And there have been so many jokes online about like the size of your runway looks and packing them all for the show and fitting them on the plane. But there were, I believe there's some of your Philadelphia sisters online that were saying there actually are some hilarious stories of like transporting your looks to set. So can you elaborate on any of those specifics of how you transported those things to Ulta set?
I will say this. If you want to know how I packed, follow me on Patreon.
get the coin. Okay,
you know what? Okay. I mean it is such a desired people want to know it. Everyone wants to know. And you can follow me on Patreon if you want to find out how I packed, and we will be putting out a full video on how it was packed and how to pack for life. Honestly, I am the new Marie Kondo of 2024, so don't you worry, honey. You will learn how to pack great big things. Mostly, I will say, make sure it drag ingenuity is what I say. Just like we had the best engineers, we had the best physicists, and
engineering and physicists.
We had to make sure it happened, and we had at least like, I think there was a 16 person team just figuring out how to pack, and it worked out.
It certainly did. And one thing that didn't work out though, was you trying to pull one over on your mama, by not cleaning her dress in her closet, which was such a funny story from the finale. And I enjoyed meeting her the other night. It was so lovely watching her just sing along with you as you were doing your performance. She was so sweet that whole night. but why didn't you clean her dress when you wore it before you put it back in her closet?
I was 17 years old. Who remembers to do that? Like, I was in high school. I was like, okay, dress has been worn. Let me put it right back so she didn't know that I wore it. And then she knew that I wore it because I was a 17-year-old child who smelled like a 17-year-old child after going outside. It was, you know, the fact that I remember my mom told this story, and I was like, that's the story you wanted to tell? Not the one where Sephira was born, but just the first time I ever did drag in general. And she was like, oh, oops.
She was having a good old time the other night. She was.
Yeah. Thank you, Honey Davenport.
The rise of Honey once again. Well, I do want to talk to you about, you know, something else related to family you brought up this season. I thought it was something that really endeared a lot of people to you even more when you opened up about the relationship with your father. And, you know, there are very few moments each season that actually make me cry. And that moment, I got very emotional watching it for the first time when you opened up about losing him. So I just want to know, what do you think he would say if he was here right now watching this moment after going through that evolution in the relationship that you spoke about so beautifully on the show?
First, he would say I was robbed. Just know my dad.
Let him say it.
He would say that. I wouldn't say it. I don't agree. That's just how he feels. I think that Nymphia is an amazing talent and that she really did the damn thing. And especially on that runway, honey, I would be like, you can style me from now on this day.
Yes. Yes.
But he would be very proud of me. I remember when he did come to see that show, shortly before he passed away, you couldn't take the smile off of his face. And he just was like, you're so good at this. You really found your thing. And I remember him saying, why aren't you on that RuPaul show?
Oh.
Who do we need to call? Because he's been on reality television at least twice, and mm-hmm. he works in, you know, in the UFC, and that's, you know,
yeah,
they're in the production world. And he was like, who do we need to call? I'm sure we know somebody. And I was like, Dad, that's not how it works. But I do appreciate it. And I think he would just be very proud of me. He would be extremely proud of the way that I play, that I lived the game. I didn't necessarily play the game in right. the way that one would say, because I just lived this experience. I just decided to be there fully. That's why I won the Spill the Tea Challenge, because I was present. I was paying attention. Yeah. I knew all these things about these people because I listened to them. I watched them. I helped them in their lives. I like helped them come to terms with certain things. So I knew that, with the exception of the one thing that there was like one that I missed, and it was about breastplates. And I was like, oh, I guess I didn't know that much about her and breastplates. But like, and I thought, well, I'm a breastplate girl, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also had heard Morphine say how much she wants a breastplate. So I just figured that would be the one. But yeah, it's very important to just be present. And I think my dad, in many ways, it's just like being in a fight. You're like, you gotta be there. You have to be right in the moment. You can't be out. You can't be in your head. You can't be in space. You can't be in the future. You gotta be right in the moment, because that is the difference between getting knocked out,
yeah,
or a punch. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's a very beautiful sentiment to take away and to keep with you. The only other thing I'll ask you now is, you teased a little bit about it before, but what else is coming down the line for Sephira, and are you focusing on other endeavors, or are you like hoping for maybe an All Stars or Reverse the World right away?
Well, I will say is that I have a lot coming up. I have my own tour, the Crystal Ball Tour, the Magical Musical Extravaganza. And I have the Crystal Ball EP coming out as well. And also, Monet Exchange and I will be singing at the Lincoln Center with an orchestra and a sound cake. So the info is now live at lincolncenter.org.
Oh, that's amazing.
Series for the summer, a summer for the city. And, you know, Sound Cake is actually named by my dad. And it's Arl Confections, it's opera, it's pop, it's drag, it's everything you want. And we have a little bit of Thorgy Thor in there too.
Oh.
So all the classical girls are getting together and doing the thing. It's very exciting. And so I'm living my absolute best life. And I encourage everyone else to take the bull by the horns and just ride, and book it like a mechanical bull, just like ride it, ride the river of abundance and just keep going towards your dreams. And remember to truly love and accept yourself, because that is the only way that you'll be able to spread the love that you have inside out.
Yeah. Well, you all heard it from Mother Safira herself. That is great advice for everyone listening. And I just want to say thank you for, you know, everything that you did this season. I think that you have just done such a wonderful job. You've connected with so many people, and I cannot wait to see what you do after this show. Safira, you have just been so wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, we have tried to peel back bodysuit after bodysuit to get to the woman underneath the sexy Baba Yaga, find out if we were able to find a heart in Plain Jane's carry-on baggage when we talk with our lovely season 16 second runner-up in the interview ahead. After a sometimes bumpy, sometimes breasty, always entertaining flight through season 16, Plain Jane finally landed as this year's second runner-up on the RuPaul's Drag Race grand finale. But something tells me our next guest is only on a brief layover before she jets off for her next venture. So alert air traffic control, because we're unpacking all of season 16's baggage with the always entertaining Miss Plain Jane.
Well, how's it going, Miss Baba Yaga?
It's good, babe. How are you? You didn't recognize me. I didn't even realize that you didn't recognize me when I came up to say hi to you. I was coming up to you like we were old friends, old gal pals, and you were like, "Whoa, what is this?"
I'm so sorry. I was like, yeah, we were at, for all of our listeners who don't know, we were at the finale event in New York City, and Safira walks by me and says hello, and then this Baba Yaga creature is right behind her, just goes, "Oh, hello," and just like leans in to give me a hug. And I was like, "Who is this?" And I later found out when I looked online, because I hadn't seen the pictures yet, that it was indeed our dear Plain Jane. So I'm sorry for not recognizing you at first.
You know what? It's okay. It's okay. I'll forgive you. My beauty was just, my glow up was too severe, and I'll accept that. I'll take that.
It was quite a moment. I was living for that, and your performance afterward was so funny. When you dance to Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls while dressed as the Baba Yaga. I mean, come on, it doesn't get better than that.
Exactly. I'm always selling sex, no matter how decrepit and disfigured I look.
And we love to see it. We absolutely love to see it. But, you know, something else that we love to see, you had one of the most memorable runs on this show, I think, of all time. Not only for your interactions with your sisters, but also, I mean, the twists. You were the star of so many twists on this season, including giving our eventual winner, Nymphia Wind, your immunity potion during an episode where she was likely going to be in the bottom too. So
right.
I have to ask now, knowing how much of a competitor you are, do you regret giving Nymphia the potion now that she won in the finale?
Fuck yes, of course I do. I have no regrets, you know. I was raised, you know, just like Kamora Black, I was raised with the religious perspective of positive vibes, and everything that is meant to happen will happen. Everything happens for a reason. Everything that is meant to be will be. And, you know, I think that everything this season panned out exactly how it should have. I do not regret giving Nymphia the immunity potion, because ultimately, I think it was a really redeeming moment for me, right? It was a really full circle redeeming moment from when I, you know, apparently snubbed her in the very first episode when
Raid a Queen.
We were doing Raid a Queen, exactly. So I feel like in a way it truly redeemed me in the eyes of so many just rabid Nymphia supporters who were at my neck for snubbing their queen. But moreover, you know, nobody went home that episode anyway, girl. So it's like,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah, I know, it was so weird.
But yeah, regardless, I truly do not regret giving Nymphia my immunity potion. I think it truly exemplified my strength in the face of Riggory, because how was I in the bottom of that episode? That
Think you were either. Yeah, I have to say objectively, I do not think you would have been in the bottom that episode. I really don't think so. I think it was interesting to watch on the finale too, because I think you did right from the very first episode. I mean, you did come in with this very big attitude in like a very confident kind of way. It was like you it's essentially, I think you could say, you talked a very big game this season. So how did it feel, I guess, placing third after coming in with such confidence? And I mean, I'm not like you wouldn't have come into the competition without that confidence, but right, placing third after talking such a big game, was it sort of difficult to process that in the moment?
No, what's wrong with you? That's such a leading question. How dare you? First of all, No. I mean, I think I backed up every single piece of smack that I talked.
Yes.
On the season, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm still extremely, extremely proud of every single aspect of my performance throughout the season, including during the finale. I think I gave a fantastic showing. And you know, that's just the cards that I was dealt. That's just how it played out. You know, Nymphia and Saphira are incredible queens and competitors, and you know, the competition was competitioning, and it was fair, and yeah, ultimately, sure. Of course, it was disappointing not to get a chance to partake in the final lip sync. But that's really maybe that disappointment, that mild disappointment that I felt in the moment, really pales in comparison to the sense of pride and accomplishment that I felt for,
yeah,
you know, being a finalist on on such incredible season with such a talented stacked cast, you know what I mean? Yeah. So
yes,
yeah, it really felt great.
An extremely memorable top three, I think, across the board. It was, you know, one of the strongest that the show has ever seen. So I you know, yeah, you definitely backed it up in many, many ways. And I'm curious to know what you would have done for the final lip sync. Did you have any sort of gags or stunts planned that you would have done in the final lip sync if you'd made it?
Do you know what, you know, I'm gonna say this. I had so many gags. I had so many stunts that Nymphia's boba reveal would have truly paled in comparison to the level of goopery and gaggery that I had in store. You know, I had things coming out of every plan. I've things planned out to be coming out of every orifice of my body. You know, I was going to spread my ass cheeks and, nickels were going to fall out of my goocher. It was going to be insane. It was going to be on a whole different level. There were going to be condiments flying. There were going to be actual burgers. You know, you remember when Jimbo did,
remember ice cream?
Jimbo did ice cream and squirted whipped cream from her nipples.
Yes.
So I had a nipple reveal where actual burgers, like burgers, large burgers were going to come out of my nipples. Like my nipples were going to squirt actual like burgers, like burger patties, like the whole nine. So I was going to gag the children, but you know, I don't think, honestly, the reason that I don't think that I was I was, you know, pushed through to the final two lip sync. I don't think America was ready. I don't think America was ready. But you know, who knows? Maybe sometime in the near future, you know, I will truly get to wow national and international audiences with my gags and stunts that I would have pulled in this finale lip sync. So I think that while the world was robbed of seeing all that, in a way, I think it was truly like something that was like ahead of its time. And I think that their World of Wonder is saving all that for something else. So,
Lane, did you just make this all up right now?
Of course, absolutely. But or did I? You'll never know.
You're so good at this. You are so good at this. I did like your, I mean, I do want to talk about your solo performance too, because I did love Bodysuit. I thought it was very funny. Can you describe maybe conceptualizing that and why that was the approach that you wanted to take with the song?
Well, I mean, I'm just inherently, my true nature is that of being extremely unserious, as you probably know by now, having interviewed me so many times, Joey.
Yes.
So I wanted to sort of keep that energy of camp and fun and unseriousness. I wanted to keep that through line going. And I was like, you know, a critique that I've heard, not just from Michelle, but mostly from my fellow castmates who are bitter and jealous. Mm-hmm. And it became very apparently clear during the makeover challenge when I was hearing from my castmates that, you know, I was just wearing bodysuits for the makeover. And, you know, well, whereas they had these extravagant, yet clownish outfits. You know, I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to sock it to them and I'm going to make my finale song all about bodysuit. Because at the end of the day, first of all, my bodysuits are immaculate. I wear the best bodysuits of anybody the entire season. And also, you know, I can be wearing bodysuits and the judges will still eat it up because they recognize true talent, whether it's in a bodysuit or not. So, I thought it would be a really fun way to double down on a critique that I received from my fellow castmates. And, you know, maybe, you know, some could say that it didn't really serve me. Some could say that maybe I should have taken the approach to this finale song a little bit more seriously, but I cannot approach drag in a serious way. Drag is supposed to be funny and unserious. I'm sorry. That is where drag thrives for me. And that is where my drag lives at constantly. Yeah. So I fully stand by my song. I thought it was a bop. I fully stand by my number. You know, maybe if anything, you know, maybe I should have had, you know, a few other bodysuit reveals or whatever, maybe that would have truly pushed me over the edge. But otherwise, you know, I'm really, really happy with how everything turned out regarding my number.
Yeah, no, it was very entertaining. And I think that something else that happened in this moment that I know you saw caused a big stir online was this cut to Amanda's face while you were talking to RuPaul after the performance. So what did you think of that when you first saw it? It's very briefly in the reaction video that's on YouTube. And I'm just curious to know your expanded thoughts on that reaction shot.
You are so messy. I mean, I thought it was funny. I thought it was camp. Of course, you know, a fun little Easter egg of the continuation of the Amanda Plain drama, which was, dare I say, the most iconic, you know, divisive drama of the season. And ultimately, I think it was a funny tidbit. And whether Amanda was actually making that face in that moment or not, I don't know. I don't personally think that Amanda is genuinely like bitter or anything, but it was definitely really, really fun as an audience member to see that. I thought it was a hilarious little callback to the shadiness and,
yes.
and all the fun that we had this season with that. So
yes. yeah.
And you did, I mean, I do also want to point out that in that reaction video on YouTube, you did say very nice things about Amanda's look on that episode. So I do think that's important to call out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that I'm at this point, I'm over, you know, dogging on Amanda, you know, America's over dogging on Amanda, honey. Amanda has truly experienced a really fantastic glow up. And I think it's indicative of like the glow up that any drag queen who like takes their drag seriously is bound to experience. So kudos, Amanda. Mama, kudos for wearing that for Slate.
Yes. Well, speaking of like friendly and congenial things, Nymphia did tell me the other day in her winner interview that she initially wanted to vote for Hershey in Miss Congeniality, but she said that you told her to vote for Tsunami. So who else did you tell to vote for Tsunami, and why did you try to influence the vote?
Well, first of all, people need to stop making Nymphia speak. I think that you know where you went wrong was interviewing Nymphia and making her influencing words to come out of her mouth to begin with, because my sister tends to misspeak, you know, so nothing. I'm here to tell you that nothing like that happened. I would never run a smear campaign against Hershey, Le Corjeté of all people. You know, I think Hershey's very sweet, and I think Hershey definitely could have been a viable contender for Miss Congeniality. I did not tell anybody to not vote for whoever or whatever. I was just very vocal about the fact that I believe that my sister Tsunami deserved Miss Congeniality, because Tsunami, honestly, I feel like she was one of the girls who was like, honestly, like the heart of the season. She was always so positive, and she was always in such high spirits and just bringing up the energy of the room, even more so than they actually got a chance to show. And, you know, I'll take responsibility for that, because I think that some of Tsunami's really fantastic moments had to be sacrificed to make more room for me and screen time for naturally. Myself. My iconic moments naturally, you know. In fact, sorry to all the girls this season that I really just dominated and just sucked up so much air out of the room. You know, I will say though, it's not really my fault that I'm such a huge bright star with such an immense gravitational pull when it comes to camera time. And you know, I do have to extend my sincerest apologies to supporting cast members of the season. But in any case, I think that Tsunami was my pick for Miss Congeniality, and I truly think so that she deserved it most. So but that being said, I did not influence anybody else's vote. Let's not say that.
Yes. And let me just clarify, my only question to Nymphia in that moment was, who did you vote for Miss Congeniality? I did not attempt to try to make her speak about suspected sabotage. I need to clarify that.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? Me and her will have a talk. We'll have a media training.
Yes. If everybody could give interviews the way that Plain Jane does, I mean, there would be...
Honey, it's a tall order.
Yeah, it's very tall order, yes.
It's too much to ask, honey. I am... You know, I just have a very special way with words, Joey.
I always go back to the Calorie Kardashian Williams reference in our group interview. That still makes me laugh to this day, because you can see in the video for a second, I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. And then when I realize what you're doing, I think everybody just lost it as soon as they realize.
Shout out to Calorie Kardashian Williams. Yes. I love you, baby.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I do have to know, on the Miss Congeniality note, though, did you attempt to vote for yourself, or like, were you not allowed to vote for yourself?
You were not allowed to vote for myself. I mean, otherwise, Joey, of course I would have voted for myself. But yeah, we were not allowed to. We actually, so the ballot actually, we voted for three people. So the first person got like the most points. We had like three, essentially.
Oh, like a preferential ballot.
Yeah. Exactly. Preferential ballot. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and quite frankly, just between you and me, don't tell anybody. of course, Safira was extremely congenial and mother-like and motherly, but I think that a lot of people voted for Safira because they believed that nobody was congenial throughout the season, and they thought that, hey, I mean, Safira can't win Miss Congeniality anyway because she's a finalist. So we're just gonna throw this vote away. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That makes
that isn't to say that Safira wasn't congenial. Of course she was. I mean, we saw her. Yeah. We saw her motherly and nurturing instincts come out. But you know, yes, I think that's why there was a tie this season.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the last thing I will ask you, Plain, is, you know, I know that a lot of people are like All Stars versus the World. That's the immediate thought. So I'm just wondering your thoughts if you would go back right away. And if you did, do you think that you would enter being the quote unquote villain again? Or would you try to actually go in with like a more conscious, congenial era in a follow up season?
You know what? I would. Go back. I don't know if I would go back right away. I really want to take a little bit of time to make sure that I am able to develop as an artist. I think that my favorite part about watching an All-Star season is the actual glow up. I mean, I think that is the most exciting thing about seeing returning queens is seeing how much they've grown in their artistry from their last season. Or first season, or I mean, in Juju's case, you know, their last five seasons, but yeah. So, but I would definitely be interested in coming back. If the offer is ever extended to me, of course, I do want to take some time to really become my own, you know, superstar outside of the show and really work on building my career and improving my artistry outside of the show. I feel like, I'm a case in which this really is the launching point for my, you know, global drag career. I mm-hmm. feel like there are, you know, some queens on rare occasion that do have you know, somewhat of a career prior to getting on Drag Race, you know, as we've seen with queens like Sugar and Spice, of course. I mean, they truly were able to make a name for themselves before the show, prior to the show. But I was really, you know, I was really just a stank local girl scurrying around from bar to bar beforehand. And now I have this like huge global platform. So I would love to see what it is that I'm able to do with this newfound audience before going back on an All-Stars run. That being said, would I come back and, you know, aim to be the villain? I don't know, girl. I would just go back and aim to be myself and make great television. And if that involves throwing some pearls under some bitches' legs, if that involves, you know, shading bitches, reading them to filth, then so be it, Zoe. So be it. That's just who I am. I can't be tamed, baby.
Yes.
So, yeah. So who knows? I'm sure more shenanigans will ensue if I was ever to return on an All-Star season. That is guaranteed.
And I definitely look forward to that. And I look forward to all that you do after the show, Plain. You've just been so entertaining and so much fun. And I really enjoyed talking to you a lot over these past few months. And I just wish you the best of luck after the show. I truly can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Joey. It's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you as well, baby.
Now, if you enjoyed this episode, we want to say our sincerest thanks for tuning in as we have recapped the last few seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race with you. And we hope that you'll continue to show us love by giving us a good review and rating us high anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we encourage you to keep up with all of our year-round drag coverage at EW.com, where we're covering all things happening in the Drag Race franchise and beyond. We do want to say a huge shout out to our producer, Sammy Junio, who joined us as we evolved into Quick Drag from our previous Binge podcast and has just done an absolutely phenomenal job upping the production quality and making us so much better at this and just being an incredibly fun person to work with, and we would like to ask them to come on to mic because we have a couple of trivia questions for you,
yes,
Sammy.
Yes, we do. Sammy, get on here.
If you've been paying attention this entire time.
Sammy!
Okay, so we just want to put you on the spot to humiliate you and that you haven't been, to see if you've been paying any attention to this show over the last couple of years. Okay, so we would like to ask you, well, since you've joined us, we wanted to ask you, can you name the queens that are Joey and my drag mothers?
Yeah.
Heidi and Closet.
Yes.
Something, something Essence Hall.
Okay, well, you failed round one.
Okay, wait, though, but you were adopted by these queens on a season I was
actually
on.
By
that's
two.
That's actually true.
That
but
is
we
true.
Do brag about it a lot.
We do brag
wait,
about
what
it
are you
a
saying?
Lot.
What are you
and
about to brag about
I was actually
now?
Adopted by a second queen, if you recall, from our season 16 first round of interviews. Another queen adopted me into her home. Oh, so damn. Jillian doesn't even
I
know
don't
this
even
one.
Remember that. It's
and Jillian was in the room.
Well, I'm guessing it was going to be a mandatory meeting.
No, it
no,
actually
no, no,
was
no.
not.
I was in the room. Was I holding cue cards at the time?
Well, plasma.
My focus
plasma
was completely
to
on
plasma threatened
you.
To murder me, so it was not
right.
plasma.
It was not plasma. I don't remember. I'm so sorry.
It was Morphine Love Dion. I am now Joey Essence Hall Love Dion.
Okay,
I don't.
That's
remember
a good
that
one.
All.
Well, go
has
back and
your,
watch.
She's seen your makeup.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay, how do you correctly pronounce the top prize for excellence in journalism? No wonder Joey can't find this one.
Pulitzer.
Yeah!
Pulitzer.
No. No,
Pulitzer. Pulitzer.
First answer. First answer is okay. The one that we get. First answer. First answer. So Shopping. You're incorrect.
Oh, man. Big
you
time
said
flop.
Pulitzer. Yay!
Please explain the fame games.
Okay. Wow. I really love being put on the spot. The fame games are games. Wait.
Wait,
I can't
I
remember
even I
a
forget
damn
what
thing.
The fame games
I,
are.
I, yeah, don't ask me. And who won?
Who won the fame games? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Oh, no. I remember the fame games.
I think I know who won them, but I don't remember how.
It's the audience voted mm-hmm. on. That's all
yeah,
I got.
Pretty much.
Well,
and Lala
wrong.
Won, right?
Sammy, you've gotten
did
half
Lala
of
win
one.
Them?
Lala did win, but Sammy, okay. you've gotten half Desert. Of one question right so far.
Yeah. Okay. Where was season 16's Meet the Queens filmed?
That was in New York.
Well, maybe, but
well,
where
well,
more specifically
no,
was the location?
That's not the question. Yeah, this is a trick question.
What kind of place?
What kind of location? What kind of place did they record the Meet the Queens in, Sammy?
Wait, what is
it? Sammy, do you just hit record and then just walk and do other things?
No, I'm sorry. I do like four other shows.
Wow, confirm this is
daily.
Their least favorite show.
That's
wow.
not true. Wait, this feels like a trick question. Where was Meet the Queens
filmed? I did
filmed?
Famously say this is a trick question roughly 30 seconds ago.
So did 51% of our poll respondents.
Okay, let's do multiple choice. Where
yeah,
were the season
great.
16
okay.
Meet the Queens filmed?
A
junkyard, B a cemetery,
C a graveyard.
Oh yeah, B
D,
a
burial ground.
Yeah, where?
Oh, okay.
Cemetery,
or,
graveyard, or burial?
Not a graveyard.
It was a grave. Wait, aren't a graveyard and a cemetery the same thing? This is ridiculous, you guys.
Well, which one is it? A graveyard or a cemetery? There's
a
only two
answers. A cemetery
graveyard.
Or not a graveyard.
A graveyard.
Okay, so confirmed. As long as we all agree, they were filmed in a cemetery and our graveyard. Yes,
no.
We're all on the same page?
No.
Yes, moving on.
No, absolutely
confirmed.
Not. They were not
confirmed.
Filmed in a graveyard. Sammy, how do you not remember that this was one of the most iconic fights on EW's Quick Drag podcast of Jillian trying to so inaccurately say that they were filmed in a graveyard?
Were they filmed
they
in
were.
A cemetery?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly my point. Thank you. Okay.
Where,
no.
where
please
were they
do.
Filmed? Can you guys
in
tell
a cemetery,
me the correct
cemetery
answers
no.
for all these things?
A cemetery or a graveyard.
It was not a
that's
cemetery
the correct
or a graveyard.
Answer.
It
that's
is not
correct
the correct answer.
We all know that's a correct answer.
Sammy, you have now gotten half of one question correct still. Was that the last
okay.
one?
No. Please do an impression of Myra's Cher impression.
Yeah, do it.
I'm great.
1 point.
1 point.
Okay, and finally, please demonstrate an armpit fart.
Oh, I can't do those. I was trying along when you guys were doing them. I can't do them. Yeah, I got nothing.
That's my kind of armpit fart.
Lovely. Thank you, Sammy.
Wait, where is the Meet the Queens filmed?
In a cemetery. No, for
Sammy,
sure.
The whole thing is that Jillian foolishly tried to say that the Meet the Queens promos were filmed in a cemetery because she thought that they looked like they were sitting on gravestones. And I famously was like, you are insane. They are not sitting on gravestones. And we went back and forth and we had a whole poll question about it.
Oh my God.
I'm and so it sorry. Literally didn't solve anything because it came back 50-50.
So, I'm sorry.
Thank you for indulging us. But yes, as we've all learned, yes, they were filmed in a cemetery.
No.
But also, I just want to give a huge shout out to my co-host, Joey Essence Hall, Adopt Dion Morphine Love. 1 week from today will be the 4-year anniversary of our first ever podcast record when I turned my little closet into a podcast studio during lockdown. Thank you for encouraging my initial discovery and binge of Drag Race and allowing me to co-host with you. It went from my quarantine refuge to a true obsession, which has completely taken over my life and personality. And I could not have gone on this journey with anyone else. So to you, I say, yas, drag.
Yas, drag. Yes. Jillian with the old school reference. Oh, Jillian.
So, until our Fisher Price breastplates bounce out of your consciousness.
Wait a minute. You're not going to give me a chance to say something nice about Jillian Closet? Trying to cut it off before I can say something? I think that let me just say, as Plain would say, the growth that Jillian has gone on from binge episode 1 to quick drag final episode. I mean, actress, acting, 4 years of acting class. I mean, come on, you have gotten so good at this, and it's something I look forward to every single week. And your contributions to the questions that I ask, like the questions that we ask these queens, would not be anything without Jillian Closet. You have reshaped so much of how I look at covering this franchise and the questions to ask and the things that are important to cover in this franchise and the conversation and the things that you point out on this are things that I never would have thought of in a million years. So I just think that we just complement each other really well. And I'm so glad that we have this now preserved the last 4 years of podcasting and covering Drag Race. It's like just, it's not only is it a literal record of like journalism and covering a show, but it is like literally a record of our friendship and our analysis and just talking about one of our favorite shows of all time. So I will always be thankful for that. And I think that, you know, I'm going to be going back and listening to these episodes for quite a while because there are so many funny things here that I forgot about, like Yas Drag.
I don't even know if that was on the podcast, honestly.
Yeah, maybe not. But I think maybe I had Carly put that in. Our old producer, Carly, put that in somewhere. Yeah.
Well, here's one more blast from the past for you. Ready?
Do you have an egg? You have a...
It's everywhere.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We don't have to return these mics.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Jillian just cracked an egg on her head again.
This is a really good skincare routine. All right. So
that
until
really
our
face. Splattered. Oh my God. Is it in your mouth?
It is now.
No, Jillian, that's done. Oh my God, I cannot believe you just did that again. Oh my, and it's funny because I literally brought up Carly and then
okay, I gotta go clean up.
Sorry. Okay, until our
Fisher Price bounce out of your consciousness. Have a blessed night. Hit it on Gina.
I love this podcast.
I'm a piss pig.